All right, good afternoon, 5 p.m. service. Woo! You can just greet the person seated next to you and tell them, I'm so glad you can make it today. All right, so for those of you who are here for the first time, let me just introduce myself. My name is Tom. I'm one of the campus missionaries here. And today I'll be speaking about the third installment of our series called All and Nothing. Okay, how many of you have been here with us, joining us for the past 3 weeks? You started this series? Great, all right. So before we get to our third installment, let me just start with a quick recap, especially for those who've just joined us for the first time. And speaking of that, can I see a raise of hands among first-timers? Yun, okay, first time today. Can I just give a round of applause? They're at the back as well. We hope you enjoy the service. So for everyone's benefit as well, the goal of our series, All and Nothing, is for us to have a greater understanding of the preeminence of Christ and the completeness we can have through the salvation that we receive from Him. So in the first week, we had an introduction. We came to understand what the book that we're basing on is about, the book of Colossians. And on the first week, we came to understand that the book of Colossians was written by Paul to the church of Colossae. And what's going on in their church is that they were a church that's thriving, that's growing, but what's wrong was that there were a lot of false teachings, wrong beliefs, wrong traditions, or just malpractices being added to the gospel. Nagipangdungag ang mga tao. There were false teachers come into the church and they were trying to tell them, hey, you need to add this, you need to add that. Because Colossae was a melting pot of cultures from the West and the East. So many different ideas would come into the city. And unfortunately, it even started penetrating into the church. So that's why Paul had to write this letter in the first place, to remind them of the preeminence and the sufficiency of Jesus. On the second week, we talked about the supremacy of Christ. We talked about that Jesus is supreme. He is above all things. That no one and nothing else will ever come close to Jesus. He is preeminent, meaning superior to everything. Okay, how many of you here when Pastor Richie was here? Okay, we had a guest preacher, man. Powerful, amazing word that he shared. That Jesus is supreme and sufficient. Now, today for our third installment, we're going to talk about the fullness in Christ. And that is, in Christ, in Jesus, we can be complete. We can be full. That we can actually live this life with the attitude that, man, I have everything that I'll ever need in Jesus. Okay, that's what this whole installment is all about. So before we get to the word, before we get to the actual verses, going back again to the Church of Colossae, during their time, because of those false teachers, a lot of things, again, were added to the gospel, to the teachings, and there were a lot of malpractices, wrongdoings. And, you know, they were trying to add to the gospel. And I'm not saying na diligent chadang mo add to certain things or improve certain things, let's say certain lessons, certain ways of doing things. You know, of different people have different styles of singing, dancing. We improve, we learn some from those things. But there are also certain things na shouldn't be tampered with. There are certain things na di lang kailangan dungagan pa. Na to add on to it, it would just make it worse or just mess it up. And that's what was going on in the Church of Colossae. A simple way to just understand that is, if you're here and if you love cooking, anyone here love cooking? You love eating na lang. Sige, you love eating. Okay. Okay. But if you ever cook at least once in your life, okay, or maybe you've had that experience na as you were cooking, maybe you got bored of the recipe, you know, parang boring naman pagluto, pasit kanton, inanirab, tubig, init lang, butangan ako garlic daw, butangan ako spices and everything, tangan ako unsa ba. Maybe you got bored with a simple recipe, you added stuff, and it ended up becoming worse. I actually know of a friend na he was eating spaghetti and just out of the blue, he added something to his spaghetti. You know what it was? He added dinuguan sa spaghetti. Then he mixed niya, gihalo-halo niya, ikaw niya. Then I was like, sure ka na. Okay. And another example would be to go for the students or even if you're working. Maybe you're with a group, you're making a project, a report. You didn't like what was made, so you took it upon yourself to add, to take the whole responsibility. Ikaw na lang bala, kadi ka ganan, sige na, boss yung mga kauban. Ending, it ended up failing. It ended up becoming worse. Or this story that I came across in the internet, talking about adding onto something. There's this story of painting in Spain. It's a historical old painting in a church. It was pretty famous and pretty valuable. But because nagkaguba-guba na siya, nagka-faded na, nagka-paklot na, it needed restoration. So there's this one old lady, out of the goodness of her heart, she wanted to restore it. She wanted to do something. Unfortunately, she was not an expert at restoration. She was an amateur painter. So by the time she was finished trying to paint or, you know, fix the painting, it ended up becoming like this. Can you imagine that? It ended up becoming worse. Mas tsada ito pa itong karaan. Katong, even if ga-packlet-packlet na siya, kung tsada pa ang details, kana mo siya nalibo ko kung Pokemon ba siya o dili. What's my point in sharing all these things? I'm sharing these things for us to realize that there are some things that we shouldn't add on to. There are some things that di na kailangan dungagan pa. And the gospel, the work of Christ, is one of those things. The result of those false teachers coming in, when they kept telling people that you need to do this, you need to add this teaching, add this practice, it resulted in people thinking that Jesus was not enough, that he was insufficient. And maybe for some of you here today, you can relate to that. Maybe at one point on your life, you've had those thoughts, parang kulang, parang tinod ba, is Jesus everything? Is he enough? Just like that song, Christ is enough for me. Is he really enough? Igo na ba? Or parang somehow kulang. Why do I feel like I'm in lack? I have this problem, kulang, ano man. Maybe you can relate to that. Our goal for today is that for us to understand how does Christ's finished work enable us to experience fullness in Him. We're here to be reminded today na what Jesus did for us, it will enable us to live a life that is full, that is complete in Him. Okay, that we're here to be refreshed. What did Jesus do that everything that we ever need in life, nasa iya lang, and we can be complete in Him? That's what this installment is all about. So are you guys ready for the word? Okay, introduction pa lang to. So for today, I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 15. But before I read the first three verses, I'm going to jump straight to verses 9 and 10. And verses 9 and 10 talks about who Jesus is. Last week, we talked about who Jesus is, His superiority, His preeminence. And here in these verses, Paul again reminds, says it again, who Jesus is to his readers, to the church of Colossae. And verse 9 says there, "For in Him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily." Paul says now, the whole fullness of the deity, the whole fullness of God, the entirety of God is in Jesus. The very God that we worship, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who spoke the universe into being. That kind of God, that very God that we ask, we pray to, we ask, you know, blessings for, that very God who created everything, the whole world, who has command of the forces of nature, that very God, the fullness of Him is in Jesus. The fullness of God. That's like, imagine, if you will, the whole ocean wrapped up, okay, into this bottle of water right here. Paul here is reminding the church of Colossae, hey guys, let me remind you again, who is Jesus? He is fully God. Because the fullness of God is in Him. And not just that, in verse 10 says there, "And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority." Jesus is the head of all rule and authority because He is above all things. And the word "filled" here is pretty important. The word "filled" there, it's used parang to describe a ship that's about to go into a voyage, or a ship that is equipped to set sail. If you've ever been to a ship, or if you've dreamed of working in a cruise ship, anyone here, that's your dream, island hopping, mag-antumulang countries, you want to work in a cruise ship, whatever kind of ship, cargo ship, battleship, cruise ship, okay? Whatever that kind of ship that may be, before that ship would leave the port, that ship has to be sure and certain it is equipped for the voyage, for the travel. It has to be certain that everything that it needs, nana sa barko. Kasi di mas lang pwede yung, while they were sailing across the seas, oy, hapit ang 7-Eleven, kay kulang, you know, anita dress, sa malls, mamupra sa ta, iministab sila ba. While they're at sea, they're on their own. They have to make sure that before they leave the port, everything that they need for the trip is right there, sa barko na, equipped na. They can't afford na, oops, balik ta, U-turn sa ta, na inabilin. When it says that you have been filled in Him, it means that we are being filled to completeness. That everything that we need for the voyage of life, we have it in Christ. Everything that we'll ever need to not just survive, but thrive in our life is in Christ, and it is being filled in us. Na wala tayong laing kailangan pa. Now, whatever the season of life is, whether you're a student right now, you're working, you're married, you have kids, you have grandkids, you are going through a tough time, you're experiencing successes, nakaisakit, wala, you're being prosperous. Whatever season of life you're in right now, all that you need to survive and thrive in life is in Christ. just like a ship, it has to have everything that it needs for the trip. Everything that we need in life is in Christ. That's why Paul here is reminding his readers, guys, reminding you who Jesus is. The fullness of God is in Him, and He is being filled in you. And so if the fullness of God is in Christ and we are being filled in Christ, guess where the fullness of God is? Where is it? It's in us. Right? It's been filled in Jesus, and Jesus being filled in us. We are being filled to completeness. Everything that we ever need, everything that we ever need is in Christ, and we have access to it. Kaya Paul is writing these verses. In the verses before this, in verse 8, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive. To take captive is parang to kidnap, parang gidukot, okay, gikuha, gisteal. No one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Paul here is writing, hey, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by these false teachings, by these beliefs, by these ideas, philosophies. It may sound good, but these are deceitful gospels. These are cheap lies, according to the Bible. These are cheap lies because in verse 9, it says there, we have Christ. You don't have to settle or be taken captive of any of these false teachings because you have Christ. You have all that you need in Jesus. Is anyone here rather you're fond of watching game shows? Anyone here? You enjoy watching game shows? Whatever the game show, okay? Can you just remember kanang Deal or No Deal? In Deal or No Deal, the whole point of the game is that there's a contestant. He or she selects a briefcase. And in that briefcase is a certain value, a certain amount. And the point of the game is, it's either you stick with the briefcase through and through, or i-bailunin mo siya og offer sa banker. And that's precisely what's happening here in this passage. Paul is reminding, or rather trying to convince his readers na, hey guys, what you have right now, this Christ, Jesus that you have, you don't need to trade it for these false gospels. Na parang if it was Deal or No Deal, No Deal, okay? Deal na kailangan i-bailunin mo sa whatever offering gihatag sa imo, stick to the briefcase. Paul here writes na, stick to Jesus. You have all that you need right here. You don't need to trade it off, be taken captive with these false teachings, with these cheap false gospels, deceitful gospels. He's reminding his readers, the Colossians, hey, this is Jesus, the fullness of God. When we are being filled by Him, that is Jesus. Now, what did Jesus do? Paul further writes, as he tries to convince and tries to remind his readers that we are complete in Christ. What exactly did Jesus do? Verses 11 to 15 gives us a picture. Verse 11 says, in Him also you were circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. In the Philippines, you know, we've grown up circumcision as a tradition that happens summer, especially in Mahalaki. But in their culture, in their context, circumcision was more than just an act. It was a way to physically signify that every man, male, who goes to circumcision is part of God's people. That's like parang gitatakan ka nga, usap nationality ka. For a man to undergo circumcision, it's like he's declaring that he is part of God's people. In the ancient times, in the Old Testament, if you were not circumcised, you were not part of God's people. So it had great significance. Circumcision was a sign, a seal of having a covenant relationship with God. Not just a contract. Nowadays, if we do business, have an agreement with someone, we have contracts, we have, you know, written agreements. To have that relationship with God, one of the things that established that or sealed that was the circumcision. But Paul here further writes that we have a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We might ask, what is the circumcision of Christ that it is made without hands? Okay, what is it? This circumcision pertains to a spiritual kind of circumcision. It talks about the circumcision of our hearts. Kung before, in the ancient times, you were established, you had that relationship with God through physical circumcision. Now, Paul writes na there is a certain kind of circumcision that supersedes the physical one. Because what's happening here in the church of Colossae was that there were some Jews or some people telling the fellow believers now, hey, belief in Jesus, faith in Jesus is not enough. You need to get circumcised. Because it was a cultural tradition, sa ila. Unfortunately, nalimtan nila ang original meaning sa circumcision. And so Jesus had to come in and redeem it. And in fact, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, was already foretold that Jesus would do so. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. What Paul here is writing is that we don't need to be circumcised to be saved because we have a circumcision that supersedes, surpasses the physical one. And that is the circumcision of our hearts. Done, made possible by Jesus, by His death, burial, and resurrection. What that means is that we can have a relationship, a covenant relationship with God through this certain circumcision by cutting off, take the word, cutting off our old sinful nature. Circumcision without hands pertains to cutting off your old sinful nature. And you might be wondering, okay, what does that mean? And ngano kailangan man? Okay, simply because for us to have a relationship with God, we need to remove our sins, our sinful nature. Something has to be taken away for us to be with God, to be united, to have that relationship with God. Our sinful nature has to be taken away. And the thing is, nothing we can ever do on our own works will enable us to get rid of our old sinful nature. Have you ever, at this one point in your life, you try to change certain attitudes, certain actions, certain ways on how you do your life? Nag-promise ka nga, mag-usap na dyan ko, magbagong buhay na dyan ko. Okay, by every January, magbagong buhay na dyan. Then after a few days or after a week, you give up. Everyone here, you ever had that experience? Diba? Let's say, not just gym or healthy lifestyles, mga niko, but even attitudes, you know, I'll work harder, I'll never be late, I won't backbite, I'll do this, I'll do that, di na ako mag-isog kaayo, I'll handle my temper, I won't lie, I won't cheat, okay, I won't do this, I won't do that, I'll be more respectful to people. At one point in our life, I believe all of us rather have tried to change the way we live. We tried to be better people. Am I right? Yeah. At least one point in our life, we tried to have better lives. Okay, unsa ko before, forget it. I'm going to have a new life now. But the problem is, try as we might on our own efforts, we can never fully get rid of our sinful nature. In fact, I remember back when I was in college, there was this time na, I don't know if you've ever had this experience na namo yung kalagutan nga person. Have you ever had that? It happened a few days, but a few days later, this guy came in late sa class. And when I saw him, pag-salute niya, for some reason, naglagot ra ko. Like, sa mukha niya, na-annoyed ra ko. And when those thoughts came into my mind, I realized na parang, wait, I've been on a promise na ko. I've been trying to stop this. Nga naman, in the span of a few seconds, parang natural, it just comes into my mind. No restraint. Parang, wala lang, as if it's natural. And that is because we have a sinful nature. Try as we might on our own to reform, change ourselves, we cannot fully get rid of our sinful nature. Man is inherently sinful. Haven't you realized that kids, young as they are, when toddlers or mga bata, young as they will just learn to lie, they will just learn to do bad things. Even if you don't tell them, makakatuno dyan sila. It is inherent in us. It is our nature. It's the same thing na if I were to bring a lion right here, right now, on this stage, then papiliyon na ako siya duha ka kasing pagkaon. On the other end, na bowl of salad, Caesar salad, kimchi, talang kasing salad. And another bowl na steak, baby back ribs, liempo, you name it, okay? Ang banin yung galaway na, okay? If I were to make the lion choose, what that lion would eat? Diba? Ano sa may piliyon niya? Ah, kimchi? Korean lion, joke. Okay? It would choose the meat, of course. Without any question, it would just eat the meat, devour the meat, because that is his nature. Fish swim because they are fish. That is their nature. Even if we have flying fish, I know there is flying fish. I know there is catfish nga maka survive sa land for a few moments, but they swim. They are fish. You can't, you know, take a fish, throw it in the air, and sige, fly, try to fly dito. You can't make a fish climb sa tree, okay, try daw. Sige, try lang. Okay, atong sulayan. Basta kung sa pag-train ni mo sa fish ni mo, diha, okay? Balag, lagbo bakas Pokemon trainer. You can't make it climb. The fish swims. Dogs bark. They are dogs. You can't train them na, okay, meow, meow. Dili siya mo cut on. Birds fly because they're birds. That's their nature. We as humans, our nature, we have a sinful nature. We sin because we are sinners. And because of that, that sinful nature has to be taken away. Because we are incapable of getting rid of our sinful nature, someone had to do it for us. And that's why Jesus had to cut it off. Okay? To cut off our sinful nature. Verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Not only was our sinful nature cut off, but it was put to death. It's one thing to think na parang if you have a sinful nature, it was cut off, it's there somewhere, living with you, kuyog-kuyog mo. No, that's the kind of picture we're talking about. Your old self. Your sinful self. It's not like a lizard na, if kita mo lizard, kaya naman sa lizard nga, kung putlo ng ikog, mag-gimok-gimok. Okay? Our sinful nature is not that, but that's trying to get back and live. Our sinful nature, it has been buried. Tell your seatmate, buried. Buried na siya. Gibutan na siya sa yuta. Not literally, of course. Okay? But it has been buried with Christ. Just as Jesus died, was buried, so was our old self that we were buried in baptism. Baptism here is identifying ourselves na just as Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected, so are we. Now as he died and was buried, our old self died and was buried with him. And as he was raised to life by God, we were also raised to life. That because of that, we now have a new life. Just tell your seatmate, you have a new life. Through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. By having faith in Jesus, we publicly acknowledge that our old life has been buried 6 feet under, lagpas pa. Okay? Dead na tong old life. And now we are alive in Christ. Before we were dead to sin, now we are alive in Christ. Now we are alive in him. One way to describe that, to illustrate that, is that there's this story of a person, okay? Like a real estate agent, broker, okay? This person, as he was trying to convince a prospective buyer, okay? Kasi ang building kasi old, guba-guba ng doors, windows, hugaw, naik cobwebs, naik basura. It was an old building. He was trying to convince the prospective buyer, telling him na, ah, sir, okay ra, among limpyuhuni, among iyuhuni, we'll get rid of the trash, we'll do this, we'll do that. Hoping to convince the person to buy the building. And the prospective buyer, when he heard that, he simply said, no, it's okay, forget about that. You don't have to clean it up because once I buy this place, I'm going to destroy this building and build up a new one. What's my point in sharing this? Christianity, whenever we talk about putting our faith in Jesus, that new life I'm talking about is not an upgraded life. We're not talking about, you know, Kiko 2.0, Mav 2.0, okay? We're not talking about an improved version of you. We're talking about a brand new you. The same thing that person would just destroy the old building and put up a new one. In baptism, as we publicly identify ourselves na wala na tong old life, dead na, and now we're raised in him, we're declaring that we have a new life. Not an improved version, not a reformed version. This isn't like an OS na gi-improve lang, but this is a brand new one. A brand new life. Who you were before, who you were known, is no more. Okay? It is dead na. Now you are alive in Christ. And no one else and nothing else will ever make it possible. If you go to other belief systems, other teachings, no one else will teach you that you can have a new life. That someone did it for you. Everyone else will teach you or tell you you need to do this, improve this, add on to this. But only in the gospel do you hear that it is possible to start a new life through Christ, in Christ. We can have that new life. Because of Christ, in Christ, we have a superior identity no one can secure. This is our new identity. Because we have been birthed again. Okay, now bago ka nang kinabuhi, now we have a new identity. And no one else can secure this apart from Jesus. Because he is the reason why we have this new life. He is our assurance that we can have this identity. That whatever you were known before, whatever lies, whatever problems, issues you had before, it is no longer your label. You're no longer labeled by your past. You're no longer labeled by your past sins, past failures, past struggles. Now you have a new life in Christ. That when God looks at you, he looks at you afresh, as you are his son, his daughter. You're no longer that failure, whatever that term you used to label yourself. Now you have a new identity as one of God's sons and daughters. That is our new identity, secured in Christ. Then going further to verse 13, now we come to understand. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Why did Jesus have to come and restore our relationship with God? Why did He have to take away our sinful nature? Why is it that our old self had to die and now we had to live a new life in Him? Why did all of that have to happen? Why? Why, you may ask? It is because of sin. It's because of our trespasses that pertains to sin. Sin is any moral failure to live up to the standards of God. Whenever we fail or go against God's standards, God's laws in act, attitude, thoughts, speech, whenever we do so, we commit sin. And Romans 3:23 says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Okay? It doesn't matter if, you know, you consider yourself kinder than your seatmate. Okay, mas butan mo sa seatmate. Siya kahit mutagad rin sa pag nasa church. Ako mutagad yung people, butan kayo ko. Even if there was a contest held in the world, you know, even if worldwide there was this contest na best person ever. Na parang yun, that they would evaluate kisang pinaka-kind, kisang pinaka-butan, pinaka-compassionate person in the world. Even if you were to win that contest, even if all the world would say, you know what? Sabi, ikaw bro, ikaw ang best person ever. Wala rami compared ni mo. Wala rami, ikaw na dyan, ni mo tanan na dyan. Even if you are the best person ever, that you still fell short of the glory of God. Because it says there, for all have sinned. It doesn't say for all who committed murder, for all who committed adultery, for all who stole, for all who did the certain sin, for all who committed 50 sins, for all who committed a certain quantity lang. It says for all have sinned. No matter what the amount of sin, basag kapila pa, unsang klasiha, as long as it's sin, all have fallen short of the glory of God. That means you, me, all of us here today, even the kindest persons we can ever think of, all have sinned. And what is the bad news? What's a big deal, Annie? So what if all have fallen short of the glory of God and have sinned? What's the big deal? Romans 6:23 gives us that big deal. It says here, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. For those of you who are working, you'd understand what a wage is. Okay? For every 15th and 30th of the month, we have a wage. Pang bayad sa inyong ginatrabaho. For all those hours, days, weeks that you work, you get a compensation. Something is compensated or rewarded or given to you. Okay? That is your wage. And here the Bible says na the wages of sin, unsay bayad sa sin. Every time you sin, no matter how small that sin is, the result of that, the wage, ang sahod ana, is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Eternal separation from God in hell. And so, if you add up all your sins, from the time yung ipanganak ka, up until now, okay, maybe you're like, what, 20 now, 30, 40, 50, add all those sins. Multiply that as you total that. That'd be like, what, thousands, hundreds, thousands of sins. It says here, the wages of sin is death. Question, how much lives do you have? Nashak ba mo nga, one life lang mo? We only have one life. It says here that for every sin, death ang dapat bayad niya. It means that for every time we sin, we should pay it with our life. Death, tasha. And so what we have here is an unpayable debt. A debt that we can never pay. Our sins. And the result of those sins is death, eternal separation from God in hell. Pretty tragic right here. Now, if we were to put this in a courthouse, okay, if this was a courtroom right now and you have this list of sins against you, okay, gossiping, revenge, all those stuff, and much more. If you have this list against you and the punishment for it, the result, the wages of doing these things was death, all of us would be in the same, but all of us, because of Romans 3:23, all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. All of us would have had to experience death. We're all headed towards death. But then, the good news comes when Jesus came in to save us. Going back to verse 13, says here, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. God forgave us of our sins. Kung before not, because of our sins, we were headed towards this direction, towards death. He forgave us of our sins. But He didn't just forgive us of our sins na parang okay lang bro, parang wala na, let's forget about it. Love you. God is love. You know that? Forget about it. Okay lang. So He didn't just forget our sins. Yes, He forgot our sins, but not in that way, not at a cost. And verse 14 tells us of that cost. It says here, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this is set aside, nailing it to the cross. What happened to our sins? That it was taken away. Our sinful nature was taken away. What happened to it? God set it aside. God set it aside by nailing it to the cross. Not just nailing it to the cross on its own, but nailing it with Him to the cross. That in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says here, He Himself bore our sin in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. He bore our sins. The punishment, the penalty, the pain of our sins, instead of us receiving it, He bore it for us. Now, if this was a court case, again, if you were someone convicted and about to be sentenced to death, it's like someone came and took your place, took the punishment, the sentence for you, and you get to live free. You didn't just get to live free once, then baka mabalik ka, madakban ka so, but you get to be set free forever. Christ died for our sins, your past sins, your sins 5 minutes ago, 5 hours ago, 5 years ago, your sins 5 years from now, 10 years from now, all our sins. It was nailed with Him on the cross, so that we may be forgiven, so that we may be set free from our sins, so that in Christ we can have a superior life no one else can confirm. We can have a superior life because this kind of life, this new life, is a life full of freedom, full of blessing, full of love. No one else can confirm this apart from Jesus. Because when Jesus saved us, He just saved us na parang, okay, you're free, but if ever you did something wrong again, balik ka dari. He set us free once and for all. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. That when He died for our sins, we were set free from our sins once and for all. And this is a superior life, and no one else can confirm this kind of life. Because it was He who did it for us. He died for our sins, and only He can confirm that we can have this new life in Him. And further on, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, says there, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. He defeated the enemy. The simple way to neutralize, to remove a weapon of someone. Kind of like this picture right here, okay? Parang if you were under threat, someone had a weapon against you, nag-kung-fu-kung-fu ka dito, okay? Gikuha ni mo, gineutralize ni mga threat. Gipil din ni mo. That's what Jesus did. He defeated the enemy. We don't just have a new life, but in Christ, we are partakers of His victory. That what He has won for us, we are celebrating with Him because we are part of that victory. It's kind of like, you know, in the past 2 weeks, we've had the Olympics. And, you know, in the Philippines, we've sent athletes. There was, I think, one athlete who won silver, so weightlifting, and her victory. She was not alone in celebrating with that. The whole nation celebrated. We were partakers of that victory. Because she represents us in that games. The same thing that Jesus here, His victory is our victory. We are partakers of His victory. And therefore, we are victors. Just tell your seatmate, you are a victor. You are a conqueror. And that's good news for many of us here that for the longest time, maybe we've been battling with certain sin issues, certain challenges in life. Now, maybe for the longest time, the enemy has been telling us, you'll never change. You'll always be like this. You'll never overcome this. Tagadri ra kataman. Dili ni mabot nimo. Maybe for them, but not for you. You're hopeless. You are unsolvable. Right? Wala ni mabot sa imong kinabuhi. But you know what? In Christ, if we want an assurance that we can be victors, that we are able to conquer those issues and problems in your life, look no further than what Jesus did on the cross. All the assurance to me that we are victors, that we can live a life victoriously, is on the cross. On the cross, Jesus defeated the ultimate enemy. If we can do that, how much more the other things in this life? We are victors. We have a superior victory no one else can accomplish in Christ. A superior victory. A victory that no one else can match. No one else can do this kind of victory. Only Jesus. Whenever other belief system tells you, you need to do this, you need to achieve this. Here, Jesus already done it for us from the very start pa lang. He already won the battle. He already defeated the enemy na. And we are simply here enjoying, claiming, okay, rejoicing with Him in the victory. And again, that is good news for all of us here today. For all of us. If you were wondering, man, can I live a victorious life? It is possible. You know what? The life that Jesus paid for, you know, Jesus died so that we may have a new life. We had our communion a while ago. That bread is a reminder that He gave up His life so that we may have a new life. He shed His blood so that we may be forgiven of our sins. So we may have a new life, forgiven, having complete forgiveness. And that life cost Jesus' life. And that life is a victorious life. Hindi lang siya parang do-over nga, just another simple kind of life, just like your old life. But no, this new life is infinitely greater, superior than any other life. Because it is a life in Christ. It is a life in Him. So what is our response to this? How do we live our life knowing now that this is what Jesus did for us? This is who He is. This is what He did for us. This is what He did for us on the cross. This is why we are complete. He restored our broken relationship with God. He rescued us. We removed our sinful nature. Now we are whole. We are complete. How are we to live our lives? How are we to respond from this? As I end, a couple of things. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7 says here, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. The Bible here tells us that we are to walk in Him, to walk in Christ. That as we are receiving Jesus, as we are being filled into completeness, we are to walk in Him. And to walk is to grow by faith. And how do we do that? How do we walk in Him? How do we walk in Christ? Verse 7 gives us a picture how we are able to do so. It says here, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Rooted. When I hear the word rooted, what first pops to my mind is this picture of a plant. A plant whose roots are growing deeply into the soil it has been planted on. And the purpose of roots is to get the nutrients from the soil it has been planted. When you say someone is rooted, it means that person is established or grounded into that something. And the Bible here tells us that we are to be rooted in Him, in Christ. And that is to say na, if we were plants, and we had roots, that is to say, we are to draw everything from Jesus. Now, without Him, we would cease to live. We are to draw love, affirmation, blessings, healing, provision, wisdom, knowledge, strength. We are to draw all these things from Jesus. That if He were to be removed from us, we would die. Just as you would uproot a plant from a soil, it would die eventually. We are to be rooted in Christ. As we are rooted from Him, as we get all that we need, the completeness from Him, we will grow just as plants will grow the more they get nutrients from the soil. And not just rooted, but even built up. When I hear the word built up, no, what comes into my mind are buildings. If you're an engineering student or you're into buildings, you're an engineer or architect, you'd come to understand, if you want to make a building that tall, one key thing is to make sure you have the right foundation. Without the right foundation, forget about making even two stories. If you have a good, strong foundation, you can build up a building until it grows so tall, so high. The same thing with our lives. If we want to grow, if we want to build up our lives in a way that we will grow, we won't crumble, we won't get destroyed. We need to have the right foundation. And the only foundation we should have is Jesus. Maybe for some of us here today, our foundations are our work, our earning, our studies, our successes, our achievements, our talents, skills, hobbies, our relationships, our status, our lineage, our course, our company, whatever that is. See, you can base your life on those things. But there's a question. What happens if those things are taken away from you? What if you're no longer the best at what you do? What if you lose your job? What if you lose those relationships? What if you get sick? What if you're no longer, you know, able to do what you want to do? What if you lose those talents, those skills? What if you no longer have that status you used to have? What if you no longer have those material possessions that you base your life on? What if you lose those things? What will happen to your life? You see, in life, we will have problems. We will have challenges. We may not have a problem-free life, but we can have a problem-proof life or a storm-proof life. That whatever the challenge, we may lose things. We may lose possessions. We may have arguments with our relationships. We may get sick. We may fail at our job, at our school. We may not be the best at what we do. We may experience different kinds of challenges here and there. But if Jesus is our foundation, if He is our foundation, man, this is our security, my foundation. If He is our foundation, then we will be able to withstand, to have problem-proof lives. We will be able to withstand whatever comes our way, whether that be relational problems, financial problems, physical health problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems, you name it, whatever it is, if Christ is your foundation, if you built up your life in Him, you'll be able to grow. You'll be able to withstand these problems. We need the right foundation. And lastly, as we continue to be rooted and built up in Christ, we will grow abounding in thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is simply a byproduct. It's a result of our understanding of what Jesus did for us. The more we understand what Jesus did for us on the cross, the more we grasp it, the more we seek the gravity. Na, kung before, atong paglantaw before, like it's just a simple act, a simple sacrifice. But the more we come to understand the gravity of His actions, the more we understand how loved and affirmed are we in Christ, and how wicked and flawed we were in our sinful nature, that it had to be death on the cross to get rid of that sinful nature. The more we come to understand that, the more we will be able to abound in thanksgiving. And you know what? Thanksgiving, a grateful heart, you know what the result of that is? The result of feeling complete. You will feel complete, you will feel sufficient, you will feel that nothing's missing, nothing lacking when you're abounding in thanksgiving because of what Jesus did for you. Diba, kung busog ka, you didn't feel like you missed out anything. The same thing with us. If we are abounding in thanksgiving because of what Jesus did for us, we will feel complete. Let me just leave you with this last point. We are complete in the pure and superior gospel of Christ. We are complete, 100% complete, in the pure, untarnished, untainted, and superior, unmatched, incomparable gospel of Christ. Because of the gospel of Christ, we can experience fullness in Him. We can have complete lives when we are alive in Christ.